station.
Okay. Welcome to World of Arts. What is World of Arts? Well, it's going to be a lot of things, but in this case, it's foremost a series of podcasts coming out of the COM 315 Arts Journalism class at SUNY Fredonia. I'm the professor, Elmer Plotz, and I'm one of your hosts for this first episode. The students will be taking over the rest of the way for the rest of the podcast. So ideally, you will not hear me again, but you will today. So this is our first episode, and you may be wondering, what was it we just heard? And what we just heard was Yoko Ono with an excerpt from her song, Rising. And why Yoko? And my answer to it is because she prompts the question of what is art? Background, what do you know about Yoko Ono? What do you think she is known foremost as?
Humanitarian.
She was married to John Lennon. That's probably what most people would recognize her name.
Yeah, that's probably it. But before that, before she met him even, she was already kind of a star before he was even a star. He was still playing clubs in Liverpool when she was done, when she was doing college and when she was getting involved in the art world in New York City. It was something called the Fluxus Art Movement. And the other prompt for doing this now is that there was a major Yoko Ono exhibition that just closed at the Everson Museum in Syracuse. And it was a full floor of Yoko along with some other additional things on the other two floors. So I should introduce our co-hosts today, are Anna Gagliano and Austin Gallego. And I'm going to take over a little bit because I want to see the exhibit, and then we'll get into talking a little bit more about it. Some very abbreviated description. The exhibit comprised pieces from throughout Yoko Ono's career, ranging from the 1950s up to the current decade, with some of them updated for this current exhibit. There were exhibits ranging from a string sculpture, replicating light. I think we may even have it here on our screen for those in the screen audience. Next one after that. So the audience is taking a look at it. Things like that. To one of them was just three mounds of dirt representing the plight of women's, I say just, it was simply three mounds of dirt representing the plight of women in the world. And then there were pages from her book, Grapefruit, plus a whole lot more. So let's talk a little bit about Yoko Ono. Anna and Austin, what do you know about Yoko, and where did you get your impressions of her from?
Well, like I said before, I kind of like knew her a little bit more as like a humanitarian is kind of like what I got the idea from. And a lot of the research I did about her talks about her humanitarian works and a lot of what she supports, kind of. And it's
what kind of works does she support? What kind of humanitarian work?
Well, I know she's a big supporter of just human rights, and she's, you know, pretty big in the feminist movement, too, as well as something I found out in the articles was world peace, too. So I was kind of surprised with that, because everyone would want world peace, but, like, you don't really see people generally, like, pushing toward an advocacy for it, because it sounds just so kind of, like, out there a little bit. So I was surprised to learn she's kind of a big supporter of, like, that general idea.
Yeah, I really didn't know much about her other than the fact that she was married to John Lennon. But when I did research, I mainly found information about her art. And but I also did see how she really supports world peace too, and efforts for that, and how her and John would do demonstrations like that when he was still living to support world peace, and how a lot of her art centers around that. But it also centers around nature and getting people involved and pretty much explaining that everything can be art and anyone can be an artist.
One of the things I didn't know about her until I went to this exhibit was she has a book called Grapefruit, which is really sort of apparently a landmark book of its sort. And in it, she describes it as being the artistic equivalent of a musical score for various activities. For example, the kind of thing in the book. It was a piece of work at the Everson. It's called Fly. It comes with the directions, climb up a ladder to reach the sky. Try ladders of different heights. See if the sky looks any closer from a higher ladder. Is that art? What do you think?
Well, I was doing a little bit of research on grapefruit, and there's a lot of things in the book where there's some interesting ones where it'll be like, scream at the wall, scream at the wind, scream at the sky, and then like see how you feel. And as I was doing research, it said that like you could do those things literally, but there's also the implication that you don't have to do it at all, and you could imagine doing it. You could think that you never want to do it, but either way, you're interacting with what she's created, and it's causing you to think about something. And so she believes that it's art, and I agree. I think that that's art because it causes you to think about something, even if it's very abstract.
Austin.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm one of those people who kind of like, I think like everything is kind of art, because if it's made by somebody, I think it does kind of like constitute as art, because there is meaning to everything. And yeah, a lot of what she does is kind of like, when I first read a lot of it, I was like, you know, I don't really get what she's going for. It's so kind of abstract, and not obscure, but like, you know, abstract kind of thing. But that is kind of the meaning of it a little bit, and I think that does constitute as art.
So would a box of cereal be a piece of art if somebody made it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is. It's, you know, it's a very frivolous piece of art, but it's still art. You know, someone made that.
I have to say, one of the things I'm proud I'm going to be able to add to my resume, my curriculum vitae, is that I am now a collaborator with Yoko Ono. One of the events that they had was, or one of the exhibits they had at the Everson was Painting to Hammer a Nail. So I hammered a nail into the wall. And for the studio audience, we actually, yes, that could have been one of my nails. It may not have been, but I did nail a nail into the wall, as Yoko instructed me to. I have to say, I wasn't sure that I really felt I was making art when I was doing it. I mean, there were further directions about possibly, you know, when you comb your hair, putting some of the leftover hair on the nails until the board is filled up and that kind of thing. But I don't know. I have to say I had some doubts on that. So is it just a matter of how you receive the art? How much of art is how you receive it as opposed to what the artist is putting out there for you?
I really think that if you want to perceive something as art, that you can, and it's totally fine if you never perceive nailing that nail into the plank of wood that it's not art. But in just reading about Yoko, she does a lot of things like that. She does a lot of interactive pieces, or just it'll be like a piece of black fabric on the floor, and she'll just say, step on this. She just wants people to get involved in it and feel like they are contributing to something. What she feels they're contributing to is the art, but just so people feel like they are participating in something, and that whoever else participated in the same thing, you share a common ground with them, and you share a common ground with Yoko.
So art, activism, psychology, everything sort of overlaps.
Yeah, it also kind of ties into how she wants to bring people together, you know, world peace, you know, things like that. She wants people to feel a sense of unity, and that's another reason why she does the interactive things.
Yeah, I agree with that too, because it's like, it's one of those things, it's like, no matter, even if it sounds like kind of weird, there's like a meaning behind it too, to bring people together, which is, yeah, like her idea of world peace. And it's like, I think that, you know, art is subjective, so it doesn't necessarily matter how like frivolous it might be, or how like, you know, abstract it could possibly be, because everything does kind of have some sort of meaning. And with a lot of her work, the meaning isn't like literal. It's a, you know, you kind of have to think a little bit bigger about what's like the social significance of it, what's like the community significance of it.
Well, I'm feeling a little bit small right now. But anyways, a lot of things, I would say a lot of things that the exhibit made me think, but only one really made me feel, and that was iBlink/Arising. I know Arising was part of the title. I'm not sure if Tollaway if iBlink was, but it included photos of women's eyes along with their accounts of abuse and a pile of women's clothing. Oh, and a film of plaster casts of women's bodies piled on the heap and eventually being burned. Meanwhile, there was Yoko's music playing. I'd like to add a little bit of perspective to that. Number one was when I was about 12 years old when she started releasing American albums after she got involved with John Lennon, and people wondered, what the heck is this? What sounds is she making? Now she sounds a little bit more like accepted avant-garde music. But the other thing was that was playing in the background, video/film of these bodies burning, these accounts of abuse in the eyes of the woman, and I really could not stay in the room for very long. It was just too much pain. You know, you could sort of feel the pain that of all these accounts, and that was the one part that made me think really in this show. This actually has gone fairly quickly, and we're attempting to keep it for 10 minutes. Any final thoughts? I mean, I wish we could have taken the entire class to the show. It would have been fun to do. Any final thoughts as far as Yoko and her art and her music? And are you inspired to find out more about it?
I think so. One thing that I found really interesting that I kind of just want to explain, because when I first listened to her music too, I was just curious. I'm never really judgmental. I respect people's art, but I can understand how people would be confused by some of the sounds that she makes. And she explained it once herself by saying, in a lot of her pieces, it's either about like pain or even like joy sometimes. But she related it to this kind of analogy. She said that if you were drowning, you wouldn't say, could somebody please help me? Like, I'm going to die. Like, you're going to be screaming. And so that's what she's trying to do. That's the kind of pain that she's trying to represent in her music when she's making those kind of guttural sounds, which I thought was a really cool concept.
And she actually carries that over into a lot of her visual and conceptual art.
Yeah, I absolutely am interested to know a little bit more about her, because as I was listening to her music too, I kind of was starting to get a little bit of a correlation of it between, like, not like some of the like artwork too. Like, I didn't know about the one piece you were talking about that you had to leave the room for. I didn't really know much about that, but I did hear about some of her other stuff, and I was kind of trying to figure out, like, I could see a correlation between everything a little bit, between like just the pain and then the actual artwork too, and what she's trying to convey, especially. And then you just got to kind of connect everything with like her humanitarian work and everything. So I think, you know, it's definitely, she's a very interesting artist.
Okay, with that, it's about time to wrap up our part of it. Now it's time for our studio audience to participate a little bit here. So do we have any questions, any thoughts, any impressions? 3, 2, 1, raise your hand and come on up, because we need a few other thoughts, even if it's only your general impressions of what you knew about Yoko Ono before today. I can see that one of the rules for the podcast is that everybody is going to be required to have one question or a comment for the comment part at the end of the podcast. So who do we have? Thoughts? Okay, Sam, come on up. You're going to have to come up to where the microphones are, so just line up here.
Hello. My general impression is, I assume, I guess, that you can tell by her emotions and the sounds that she emits that she is very deeply hurt in her music. It's very expressive, and that's evident through her piece.
Okay, and coming up, we have Ericetta.
So this made me think of a quote one of my old professors said once, Professor Sampson. She's a music professor, and she does a lot of, like, I guess, postmodern impressionistic music. I don't know what you would call it, but that kind of, like, out there stuff. And she said she doesn't want her music to always make people feel comfortable. Sometimes it's supposed to make you feel uncomfortable, and that's something I've always remembered and still think about today, because I don't really know if, I don't know, I'm someone that likes comfort, so it's something to think about. I don't know, do you want to challenge yourself to feel uncomfortable, feel the almost pain? And yeah, it just made me think of that quote.
Now, I know that you're connected a little bit, and you love a lot of classic rock, particularly, I believe, going back to the Beatles era. And is it possible for Yoko Ono to escape her connection with the Beatles and with Lennon when you hear her or when you listen to her?
Do you mean, like, the influence in John Lennon's music style in, like, what we just heard?
Well, that, and just, can you think of Yoko without thinking of John?
I feel like perhaps. she's just so out there that the more you hear about her and the weird out there stuff she's doing, the more you're like, all right, this girl is definitely making a name for herself, and I'm starting to think about her association less.
Okay, and our final commentator person for today is Elise.
I just wanted to comment on the last question that you brought up. I feel like you're not going to ever be able to think about her without John Lennon, just because of everything that they did in the kind of historical context that goes with it, and kind of like the impact that the two of them had together. I think that when I think of her, that's what I think of.
Okay, I'd like to wrap it up. One final thought, the Everson Museum, which, by the way, was designed by I.M. Pei. It was his first museum long before the Louvre. He also designed a bunch of buildings here at our university. And in 1971, Yoko Ono had her first really large exhibition there, and John Lennon was listed as being the co-artist for it. So thank you very much. And thank you very much to Austin and Anna for being our first pilot co-host. And hopefully we have shown everybody how to do this, and perhaps how to even do it better when they get their chance to do it. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.